This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
Heading into spring, I've been spending a lot of time pondering, analyzing, and debating something extremely important to men, and even many women, and that's whether a new driver would improve my golf game. I would say I'm somewhere between embarrassing and appalling at golf, but man, do I love it. And all my buddies show up with these epic flash, big maverick Bertha drivers, and I can't help but feel like they've got this massive advantage on me and my persimmons. It's Ryan, and at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're proud to have a pretty special advantage ourselves, and one that can be a big deal for you. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company uses its own money and makes its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. And this advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, saving monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We're much better at mortgages than I am at golf. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
So what is his goal? He says, I travail. What are you travailing until Christ be formed in you?
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as we continue our study of Galatians 4. And a message called The Importance of Sound Doctrine. And as you pointed out a couple of days ago in our broadcast, Pastor, you said the Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatians, helping them clear up doctrinal issues, but he did so in a winsome way, in a loving way, not in a way where he was beating them up. And the whole reason was he was trying to mold them, shape them into the image of Christ. I have a good friend who said, I went to a church where I never learned what the image of Christ truly looked like because I got beat up every time I went in there. I eventually quit going. And I think that's a problem that a lot of Christians may face.
I think so. And that's tragic, but often very true. We want to try to beat you into the image of Jesus or force you into. Listen, individuals need to have the impetus supplied by themselves. If you're earnest, you're honest, you really want God to work in your life, then individuals will be able to tell that.
Yeah.
You want someone to work with you. So here's what I say. Approach someone that you feel this person is where I want to be.
Yeah.
What does it take for me to get there? Maybe you let them disciple you. You
sure.
know, I mean, they're just things that are available for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But that's the ultimate goal. You know, Romans 8:29, you know, what's the goal of God for every believer? That we be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And so sometimes that's not an easy process and it's not a quick one.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
There's no instant spirituality. You know, take three of these and, you know, bam, you're conformed to the image. No, it's a hard process where God, I like to say it this way, there's too much Ford in Ford, and God wants to put more of the Lord in Ford. And so what does he do? He chips away from Ford until he can see the Lord. So everything that I go through, my trials are designer trials. You know, there are trials that are designed to get more Ford out of me, more Lord in me. And
yeah.
I just use it because my name rhymes with Lord, you know.
Well, it works.
Yeah, it works.
If it works, use it.
Use
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Well, our goal today is to dive into Galatians chapter 4 and look at this in a little bit more detail. So grab a Bible, join us there as we continue the message, The Importance of Sound Doctrine. Here is Pastor Ford.
That's what I want you to do. Find somebody. And it may be somebody in this very assembly. It may be somebody in your family. Hey, let's see if they're opposing themselves that we do an act of kindness that maybe makes an impact on them. Maybe not a whole denomination like Hank Hadegraaff. Maybe just one person decides, you know what? Somebody cares about me, and that makes all the difference in the world. Because you may be the world to one person. You never know. And so, do they sense your heart that you have appreciation? Here's the second thing. Not just appreciation for them, accommodation of them. Now, how do you know? How do you distinguish why they're doing what they do? Because we don't know motivations. I tell people all the time, can't see nobody's heart. You know, how are you going to tell somebody why they're doing something? Some of the times they don't even know why they're doing it. So how in the world are we going to know that I'm really trying to help somebody? Paul, would you tell us, how do we know that this is genuine? How would the Galatian believers know, hey, he really appreciates us? He's doing it because he wants to help us. Some people just do it because they're the doctrine police. Just a Bible-toting, Bible-thumping, sin-sniffer trying to replace the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christians. We call them people pharisaical. Yeah. Because remember, you can have the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. Yeah. You know, I teach on communication and in marriage seminar. And what I do is I go through and I say, okay, three aspects to communication. I think I might even share it with you before. The body language, tone, and words. And then I ask them, how much of that is 50%? How much is 30%? How much is 20%? Then I let them say, and a lot of people think the words are the most important. No, they aren't. Because 50% of what you communicate is communicated by your tone. And then 30% body language, only 20% of your words. So imagine now, I'm having a conversation with Sister Ford, and I raise my voice and give the pastoral authority voice, but what I'm saying is right. You know, after I pick myself off the floor, you know, it's like, no. It's like I said all the time. You know, people are going to evaluate you based on those other two more than anything else. So how do we know? How do we know? I remember I was working as a sanitation engineer for the city of Pittsburgh. And I was also a landscaping engineer. That means I cleaned toilets in the park district and cut grass in the park district. But which would you rather have? A sanitation engineer, landscaping engineer, or somebody who cleans toilets and cuts grass? I like sanitation engineer. I put that on my resume when I was looking for a job. Sanitation engineer, landscaping engineer. Amen. But there were only three of us. Rodney, who was unsaved, John, who was a believer, and me was a believer. And so it was so different because Rodney one day caught me and he said, I need to ask you a question. Because Rodney was alcoholic. So he would go behind trees and things and drink and John would have binoculars. He out there drinking. And he'd say, Rodney, I hope you don't think them mints are going to hide that alcohol. You're going to bust hell wide open. And so, you know, I would share with him. And one day he asked me this question. He said, I got to know something, Bo. I said, what's that? Do you and Rodney know the same Jesus? I said, what do you mean? I mean, you and John. Do you and John know the same Jesus? What do you mean, Rodney? He said, because when you talk to me about him, I feel like pulled toward him. But when John talks to me about him, I don't want nothing to do with him. And I would take him in the Bible and I say, well, here's what the Bible says, that he loved you so much that he gave, you know. So he said, well, why is it that you focus in on the love of Jesus? He always focuses in on my alcohol. I said, why don't you ask him? This was just asking because, I'm not going to say nothing against another believer. He said, yeah, well, I just wondered. I had to ask you, do you two know the same Jesus? And you know, there's a lot of people that are asking that question about a whole lot of us. Why is it that we have individuals who are so caustic in their Christianity, so condemning in their Christianity. And say, you know, oh yeah. And I've shared with some guys. I remember having a funeral service and the guys had their hats on. And I just said to them, I said, look, fellas, I don't mean any harm. But listen, when I'm on your turf, I respect your turf. Now you're on my turf. And on my turf, men take their hats off. So I need everybody to take their hats off. And so then there was one person didn't take their hat off. You remember that, Pastor Lyles? And so I walked up to him and I said, all brothers, please take their hats off. She said, I'm a woman. And she was dressed. Let me leave it alone. Because she definitely.
I thought it was a man too.
But it was a woman. It was a woman. Yeah. And so here it is. Here's the question. What mess from them have you put up with in an effort to win them to truth? That's what he's saying here. Listen to what he says. My little children of whom I travail. Oh, man, that's powerful. What price have you paid? I don't want to make this about me, but when I got saved, I was a mess. I got converted. I still was a mess. And Ray went through all kinds of, I'm calling this man 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, waking him up. You know, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. This man would ride 50 miles one way. I'm telling you, I would not be your pastor today if God didn't hook me up with a man that when he got in the car and I was still smoking cigarettes and the place was filled with, the car was filled with smoke, and he just rolled the window down and he wouldn't even condemn me for it. He just say, man, and I say, oh, excuse me about the smoke. And he said, man, it's hard to take. He said, but you know what? God will give you victory. He would always do stuff like that. It was like, man, he was so accommodating. As a matter of fact, I knew that this guy had to be a Christian when he let me borrow his truck and I burn out his clutch. He said, you know how to drive a stick? I said, yeah, and never drove one in my life. Burnt his clutch out. Man came, got his truck towed, and then got it fixed and said, if you ever need it again, just let me know. I said, I lied to you. He said, I know, you burnt my clutch out in 2 hours. You had to lie to me. You ain't about no, you know. I said, so why are you going to let me? He said, because I'll teach you how to use it. Man, you heard that, right? She said you never would have gotten my car again.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford and a message called The Importance of Sound Doctrine. We're going to get back to this teaching in just a moment. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always listen online. Come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. There you can order copies of this program on CD. You can download an MP3 for free, or you can simply stream the program through your computer or mobile device. Also at the website, you'll find links to be able to download the Moody Radio app. By using the app, that's another way that you can listen whenever it fits your schedule. You'll find the app by going to your favorite app store like Google Play or the iOS app store, or we'll link you to that when you come to treasuredtruthradio.org. Just look for the Stay Connected bar. You'll find the link there. Right now, back to our message. Again, here is Pastor Ford.
And so here's what the word travail means. It literally means it's a picture of a woman giving birth to a child. Now get this. Wait a minute. Didn't he already travail? Here's the word picture. A woman giving birth to a child. Isn't that usually about conversion? Yes. So you look at the times it's used in the New Testament, you will see Paul used it in 1 Thessalonians and in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3:8. I forget which the reference is in 1 Thessalonians. He said, I travailed, and he's talking about winning them from idolatry. So he's talking about their conversion. Wait a minute. What woman travails twice in childbearing and doesn't have twins? See what he's saying? I travailed when I was used by God to give birth to you from idolatry. But now I'm going through birth pains again. Now think about this. As they're hearing this, what are they thinking? No woman goes through birth pains twice with the same baby after she's delivered it? No, see, the first one, I travailed to deliver you from idolatry. Now I'm travailing to deliver you from ignorance. You see, I'm going beyond your conversion. I want to see you committed. That's what he wants them to be, committed. And so here now, he says, listen, I want you to know that I travail until Christ be formed. Here's why everybody shouldn't do it. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man, woman, boy, or girl be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Ergo, my statement, there go I, say, for the grace of God. So what's your first reaction when somebody says, you know, somebody just said it. I was just talking to a preacher last night, and he shared something with me. I know you're going to be upset with me. Why? Because of this. There go I, say, for the grace of God. There go I, say, for the grace of God. No, I'm not going to judge anybody, harshly, especially when you're coming to me and saying, God's dealt with it, you repent. Why should I? You know, I like what Dr. Edward Victor Hill, E.V. Hill, said one time when he was interviewed. He was with some evangelical preachers, and so Larry King said, okay, so would you step down if you messed up? He said, now, Larry, step down. I ain't never stepped up. That when God called me, I said, you sure about this? He said, well, what would your people say? And here's what he said. I'll never forget it. This is over 20 years ago. I'll never forget. He said, I would hope that my people would respond to me if I fall like I responded to them when they fail. Say, that's good stuff. So what is his goal? He says, I travail. What are you travailing until? Until Christ be formed in you. The word form literally means to put in a pre-existing mold so that whatever you put in takes on the shape of the mold. Till Christ be formed in you, that you put on the mold. Now, let me give you these and then I'm going to stop. Listen. What is the goal of God for every believer? You ought to know that by now. The goal of, if I say to you, what is the goal for God of every believer? Everybody, it's just like anything else. I say, what's the love chapter? 1 Corinthians 13. Uh-huh. What is the passage where Christ is identified as Messiah? Why don't you say like somebody else say? All of them. Matthew 18. Who do men say that I am? I mean, Matthew 16. Who do men say that I am? You say, and on it goes. Okay, so you, well, okay, the rapture passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay, the goal of God for every believer. Romans 8:29. To be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. What's your job description, Pastor Ford? What is your job description? And I heard something. I wrote it down, and I'm going to quote it. I wrote it down. A brother was preaching, and he said, here's the problem with the evangelical church. Here's what's happening to us. The same is happening everywhere else. Because we're focusing on filling empty seats when our job is to fill the field seats. That's powerful stuff. I got convicted because I'm always looking, saying, man, you know, we need to get some babies born in here or something. And what is it? What is it, Pastor Ford? Let me just read it. Here's one of my job descriptions. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Wow. That's my job description. Not a firefighter, not even a counselor, but a teacher and a preacher of the word of God. Why? Well, how do you do that, Pastor Ford? Glad you asked. You ask intelligent questions. Listen to what he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, that's man, woman, boy, girl, in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That's it. The perfecting of the saints. So that what happens? In other words, that we look like Jesus. Why? Because sometimes we pray for something we already have and we misidentify it. Anybody ever pray for peace? Anybody ever pray for wisdom? Anybody ever pray for blessing? Anybody ever pray for joy? How about righteousness? Anybody ever pray for any of those things? Well, listen, if we need peace, Ephesians 2:18, it says, he is our peace. Jesus is our peace. We don't pray for peace. We just need more Jesus. Then it says, wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, of him is made unto us wisdom. Then righteousness. How about blessing? I don't have to pray for a blessing. I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. And so everything I need is found in him. Why does he want me to be conformed to Jesus? So that as I'm conformed to his image, then I look like Jesus. I think like Jesus. I act like Jesus. I talk like Jesus and I walk like Jesus. So if I need joy, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. My joy is in Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, then if I have his joy, then it doesn't matter what I don't have, because I'm focused on what I do have. I have him and he blesses me. And so Jesus is my cardiologist. You want to know why? Because he's my heart fixer. Jesus is my psychologist. You want to know why? Because he's my mind regulator. Jesus is my podiatrist. You want to know why? Because he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's my banker because he shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And he's my hematologist because he washed me in his blood.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford. And do you ever wonder how much time Pastor Ford goes through thinking of some of these examples, these illustrations, and some of these alliterations that he comes up with? Well, our message today is the importance of sound doctrine. And I think that's one of the things that I appreciate about his teaching is he's able to take these doctrinally and theologically rich concepts and boil them down, break them down to a way that even I can understand. And maybe that's true for you as well. As you've been listening to this broadcast, God has really used Pastor Ford's teaching and explanation and a sense of humor to really point you to Jesus and you're growing in your walk with him because of what you're hearing on this broadcast. Well, we'd love to hear about that. You can always give us your feedback when you come to treasuredtruthradio.org and click on the contact link. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, one of the things that's so encouraging about being involved in a ministry like this is regular feedback from listeners talking about how God is using this program in their lives.
Yes, they're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of them don't have the opportunity at times to get to Bible study. Sometimes they don't get the chance to study on their own at home.
Yeah.
But they turn on their radio and Moody Radio is there. The plethora of teachers
and good, sound teaching, and they're able to be edified and built up. And so I know that our listeners want to support us with one-time gifts and monthly gifts. And remember, no gift is too small, because it's not what I'd do with a million if a million would be my lot, but it's what I'm going to do right now with a dollar and quarter I got.
Well, if you would like to give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift, you can do that easily by coming to treasuredtruthradio.org. Look for that link that says Make a Donation, and you can give your gift safely and securely online, both the ongoing monthly gift and the one-time gift. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Thanks for giving. Thanks for listening. And I hope you'll join us next time here on Treasure Truth, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.